Good evening, class. Let us pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you open eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week, we ended up on discussing the teacher out of the fivefold ministry gifts. Well, we know the gifts which are in Ephesians 4:11, those fivefold ministry gifts. We call them fivefold ministry gifts or fivefold ministry graces. And we did the teacher. Jesus was our example as a teacher. So tonight we're going to get into some of the apostle, and we're going to see the apostolic environment and what it looks like. We're going to talk about some of the key characteristics of the apostolic environment. First of all, I want to give you some of the duties. I have listed about 26. There are probably many more, but I have about 26 that I have listed as duties executed by the apostle. What I normally do in my class is, as I'm ministering on the apostle, I give you five at a time because I don't want to give them to you and overload you with them. I also will go on the online, and I will download them on the page probably this tonight. And you can go through and look at each one of them. And like I said, on each class, I come in and I discuss at least four or five of them. And so tonight, what we're going to do, I'm just going to go through five of them. Number one, you can write the what they do, and I'll explain to what each one of them is. So to the apostle, first of all, they're gatherers. Duties executed by an apostle. They are together. Gather means bring people together. The apostolic anointing is a gathering anointing. Apostles gather people for the purpose of teaching, training, and mobilizing them to fulfill the purposes and plans of God. They have the charisma to attract people for the purposes of the kingdom. And a statement I made here is, who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And the scripture reference there is Matthew 12:30. And again, remember when we started and we explained the fivefold ministry gifts, and they say, first of all, and the first part was to perfect the saints, or to mature the saints. So it's for purpose of gathering the saints together and teaching them, training them, and mobilizing them to fulfill the purposes and plans of God. Number two is to impart. Apostles have an ability to impart spiritual graces to the saints. This impartation enables the saints to fulfill their callings and destiny. Every saint, God has given all of us a destiny. Everyone who come into the kingdom, he had that destiny plan before you, even before you came into this existence. Jeremiah 29:11, God said, makes a statement here. He said, "For I know the thoughts and plans I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." So he has an expected end for every one of us. And so the apostle helps to impart those abilities in us, those spiritual abilities and graces, and so that we can fulfill our calling. Our apostle here, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., what he does under the LTMA umbrella, there we have what we call impartation calls. And every pastor that's under that umbrella, every minister that's under that umbrella, the first Tuesday of every month, the first Tuesday, he may have an impartation call. We call it an impartation call. He calls out all the ministers and he imparts to us what's in him so we can receive and so we can fulfill our destiny. Number three is to mobilize. Apostles have the ability to stir up and mobilize the army of God. People need to be gathered and mobilized to fulfill the Great Commission. Great Commission is over in Mark 16 and over in Matthew 28. We'll go in and we'll see some of that tonight. Number four is to order. Apostles bring order and government to the church. Order and government to the church. And as we are doing here at Word of Life Christian Center, LTMA, we are restoring God's government in the church, the apostolic government, apostolic anointing, or the way God had it from the beginning, so that we can see government in operation, so we can begin to see signs, wonders, and miracles operating in the church. God is doing it, but he called individuals into this assignment, into this commission to carry out his assignment. And so the apostles bring order and government to the church. The apostolic anointing is a governing anointing. Government is necessary to facilitate the flow of God's power and anointings. Scripture reference you can go in and look at is Titus 1 and 5. Titus 1 verse 5. And number 5 in this one, in duties executed by an apostle, is to judge. Apostles bring judgment and correction to the church. They issue sentences and verdicts against false teachings and incorrect behavior. And so they are the judge that bring judgment to the church. So see Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3. And so like I say, I come in the beginning of each session, and I go through each one of these duties as executed by an apostle. Like I said, we've been in the church for so long, and we don't understand what the apostle does and what's his purpose. And you'll hear us talk quite a bit about apostles, and we want you to understand the apostle and what his duties is and how God called him and assigned him. Remember Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, where it says that you're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God, and it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it says, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. He said, after that, then miracles, signs, and wonders. And so we need to get a firm grasp on what an apostle does. So like I said, I just say the first five I go through, and I will go over them. You can go online and download them, put them in your notebooks, or just read them however you want to do it. So let me go through some of my lesson for tonight. The key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. An apostolic environment focuses on heaven. That's the main thing, focus on heaven. And allowing prayer, worship, miracle signs, and wonders to become normal in our daily life. And so when we begin to focus on the apostolic government, one of the things we came in and we want to make sure that prayer was important in the lives of the saints. We have to be able to pray. Luke 18:1 said, men all shall always pray and not faint. So we should understand that. Worship, one of the things that we do, we worship. When we begin to worship, we bring the presence of God on the scene. So worship is important in an apostolic environment. Miracles, signs, and wonders become normal in an apostolic environment. It's important because that's what the Bible is teaching us. That's what it's telling us. We who are in the kingdom, we should be just like Jesus was when he was here on the earth, when he was teaching and preaching. We always say saw signs and wonders operating in his ministry. So we're going to do the works that Jesus did. He told us, he promised us that the works that he said, we believe on him, the works that he did shall we do also, and greater works. And so if we are not doing the greater works, then we are not carrying out kingdom assignments. And so in order for us to carry out kingdom assignments, we have to be, again, trained, taught, and mature in the things of God. The apostolic role is not designed to address directly. It's not designed to address directly the needs of the people. The apostolic government, our apostolic apostle, his role, as we've said over and over and over again, his role is to find out what heaven wants here on earth. So his time is spent seeking heaven, finding out what it is that heaven wants here on the earth, and bringing that back to earth and imparting it to the people so the people can understand what God needs here on the earth. So with that said, to turn to Acts chapter 6. We're going to see a illustration of apostolic government. And when you're under apostolic government, when you are connected properly to an apostle, whatever is on, remember I said he imparts, whatever is on that apostle comes off on your life. So here in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, if it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So it's saying, what he's saying is that apostle is not necessarily doing the menial things that's happening in the church. What he's doing, and we're going to find out here in verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. So when they're spending their time in prayer and ministering the word, what they're, again, they're seeking what heaven wants here on the earth and bringing that back here and imparting it to the people. In verse 3, I skipped to 4, but let's go back and look at verse 3. And we were talking about the administration of the for the people, for the widows of the disciples. In verse 3, it says, wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may point over this business. So criteria for operating in the kingdom, we see here as any part that you want to play in ministry, here he say, look out among you individuals who are full of the Holy Ghost. So if you're going to operate in ministry, we have to be full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the one who directs us and point us, bring us through this kingdom, this supernatural kingdom. We have to be led of the Spirit, just like Jesus was, who was our foundation. He had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Before he even started his ministry, when he went out and was baptized by John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and they say he came up out of the Jordan and the heavens was open, it says that the Spirit of God lit on him like a dove, and God spoke to him, say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So if we're going to operate in this kingdom the way God set it up, then we have to be full of, first of all, faith. And we have to be full of the Holy Ghost. One of the things Hebrews 11:6 says, God says, without this faith, he says, it's impossible to please him. He says, we who come into God must believe that he is God, that he is, and that he rewards them who diligently seek him. So we have to be full of faith. As our apostle right now is ministering on faith, he's going through another level of faith. And one of the things he said, I got a new revelation out of it. He was teaching us yesterday, and he went to a scripture over in Hebrews 12:2, and he said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, and is now sit down at the right hand of God the Father, Hebrews 12:2. But then he made a statement. He said, the word of God is the author of our faith. And he say, obedience is the finisher of our faith. So when we hear the word of God, God tells us something, then it comes straight from a rhema word from God, tell us what we need to do. And then when he tells us what to do, then we have to follow through on that. We have to actually do that. We have to obey. We have to have radical obedience when God tells us to do. If we want to see the supernatural operate in our lives, we have to have that radical. I call it radical obedience. That means that it does not line up with my thinking process. It don't line up with my reasoning anyway, but God said do it in his word. He told me to do it. And when he say do it, I have to just step out and do it. Remember when he told Abraham to leave his people. You know, Abraham was comfortable with his people, but when God told him to get up and go, and he was going to bless him, he had to have that radical obedience, and he had to go. And so in order for us to operate in the supernatural, we have to have radical obedience. So I was reading here in Acts chapter 6. Let's look at it. It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministering of the word. And so, and it tells, it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, verse 5, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And then they called us some other, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. And he said, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And when it says they laid their hands, so that was an impartation that took place from the apostles. That same anointing that was on those apostles came off on those people, those table waiters, parking attendants, those greeters at the door, those ushers who are in the church. All those, that's apostolic government, that's apostolic assignment. And God said, those, that same anointing that's on the apostle, if you connect properly, will come off on you. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. Let's look at something over here and see how God does what he do. He give us scripture references. He tell us how he done things in the past, so that become an example to us. And so, like I say, this is just a principle that's in the Bible. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. How I did things yesterday, I'm going to do those same things today. So here in Numbers chapter 11, looking at verse 16, and this is Moses. Moses was considered as an apostle. He was leading the people. He was hearing from heaven, finding out what God wanted here on the earth. And so Moses was called to lead the people out of bondage into their promised land. So in Numbers 11, 16, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, he said, gather unto me 70 men of elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And so he said, people that have matured in the things of God, who've heard what you said, and begin to grow in the things of the kingdom of God. That's verse 16. Look at 17. And verse 17 says, and God speaking, he said, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee. God didn't say I would take the spirit that's on me and put it on them. He said, I take the spirit that's upon Moses. That's the principle. That's God said, when you connect properly to that apostolic anointing, whatever commission that's on that apostle's life, God put that same commission on you. He said, I'm going to take of the spirit that's up on you, and he says, which is upon thee, and I will put it up on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it thyself alone. So there's that apostolic anointing. He takes that apostolic anointing that's on that apostle. Once we connect properly, he takes that anointing that's on him and he imparts it to you so you can operate. You're not an apostle, but you can operate like an apostle. The same thing that apostle had on him, you can operate that exact same way. Let's watch one of these table waiters and how God did it. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 8. Remember Philip? Philip was one of those seven table, I call him my table waiter. So he was one of those seven table waiters that God called and help out at the table, help the apostles do the daily ministrations. Here it is in verse 5, Acts chapter 8, verse 5. It says, then Philip was one of those seven, went down to the city of Samaria, And he preached Christ unto them. He had, what was he preaching? He was preaching Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. He was preaching how God, how Jesus was crucified, how he was raised from the dead the third day, and how he was healing, again, healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. He was telling about what Jesus did. And in verse 6, he said, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Was he an apostle? No. Apostles does miracles. But the same anointing that was on those apostles came out over Philip because he had connected properly. He began to do, he was full of faith and he was full of the Holy Ghost. The works that I do shall you do also in greater works. Why? Because I go unto my Father. And so the same power that I was operating on here while I was in the earth, you're going to be operating in that same power. But that apostle came along and imparted that supernatural ability on these, here at Word Life Christian Center, we can call them, into the helps ministry. You know, the apostle cannot do everything here. He can only do, like you say, spend his time in prayer and in ministering of the word. All the, you know, he couldn't come to every class and teach every class in the school of ministry. He could not come out on Sunday mornings and park vehicles. He could not stand at the door on Sunday mornings and greet people when they come in. He could not stand down the aisles and direct saints to their chairs as they're coming. But those people who are connected to him should have that same anointing that's on his life should be on your life. That's how God set it up. That's how he set it up from the beginning, and that's how he's doing it today. He goes on to say, let's look a little bit further. It says in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles for which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that was lame, were healed. Many. It says, and so what was he doing? He was operating in the kingdom the way Jesus wants us to operate. He wants us to operate the same way. Let's go over and look at a little bit further on at this table waiter who was full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. It says here in verse 26, I skip over, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Y'all can see some of it. Read it yourself, go through it. It says in verse 26, it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And so now here this man is, he's out here, he's holding a Holy Ghost revival, healing people, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes and say, I got something else for you to do. In our natural ability, the first thing we want to think about, well, you know, don't you see all this good I'm doing here? Don't you see I'm sitting here healing all these people and I'm preaching the word of God? And so that's what happened. That becomes my will and not the Father's will, see? And so when I begin to do my will, then I get out of the will of the Father. And when I get out of the will of Father, then the miracles and signs are the things I try to do. They're not his will. They're my own will. And so whatever I create now is what my own creation. That's why I say as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When we are led by the Spirit of God, we're obedient to what he tells us to do. Then we see those signs, those wonders, and those miracles. No matter how good it looks to us, what we're doing. But if God tells us to change directions, then we have to change directions when he tells us. Radical obedience is important for us to operate in the kingdom. And so verse 26, it says, then Philip, let's read a little bit further, and I just wanted to show this example of this alikonomia, operating in apostolic government, operating in apostolic culture and environment. It says, and he arose and went. So he didn't question, he didn't ask, you know, what you got for me to do. As soon as he said, get up and go, he got up and went. He said, and he rose and went. And behold, a man, an Ethiopian and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had laid the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He was reading from Isaiah 53. And so at the time, that's what the eunuch was reading about. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. This was Old Testament in the prophet Isaiah, over in Isaiah 53. He was telling about what happened. You know, next verse come up, say 54, he said, 53, 4, he said, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus, and somebody had to minister to us about what Jesus is. That's the whole the kingdom citizens is about. Out prophesying, witnessing about what Jesus is, so other people can come in and learn about the kingdom and begin to do the exact same thing. It goes on to say, I'm going to read through that and then I'm going to give you some more pointers. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see here, water, what doeth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest thou with all thy heart, that thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we came into the kingdom. When we made that confession over in Romans 10, 8, 9, it says that, what said it? The word is nigh thee. If thou shalt say with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, being your heart, God raised him from the dead, it said thou shalt be saved. So you came into the kingdom by believing. So he told his unit, if you can believe this, then you can also come into the kingdom and be baptized and become into part of this new kingdom. And it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. And so, you know, I tell people, you know, I'm an old Star Trek fan. And so when I see, you know, when I saw that, reading that scripture, you would say, you know, it would go up and Captain Kirk said, beam me up, Scotty. So it was like, you know, he took him and from where he was and he took him to another place, you know. So, you know, they always take what God has given to operate in and, you know, they bring it back and they assure it to us, but God did it first. And so, you know, I wanted to give you that. I thought that was pretty good myself. Let me read you for a moment. In Acts 6:4, our apostles said that we would devote ourselves to prayer and to ministering of the word. The increasing needs of the people were a distraction to their role and their anointing. It was a distraction. So like I say, if they try to do everything, it takes away from that anointing that God has put on their lives so they can't carry out their apostolic role the way they should. That's why, you know, when God has called an apostle, he have to call in people to help him carry out the commission that God has commissioned him with. He cannot do it by himself. And so since we all are called part of God called, he gave him the vision some 30 some years ago. He said, your commission is right now. I want you to go out and change the lives of people with the word of God. I also want you to equip the body of Christ. That's what we call our vision here at Word of Life Christian Center. If you're part of Word of Life Christian Center, that becomes your vision. You connect to that vision and everything that vision offer will come onto your life. if you connect properly. I say again, importance is connecting to the vision. Once God assigned you to a vision, you don't let nothing deter you from what God called you to do. You connect to it like glue, like, you know, super glue. Nothing pulls you away from it. You know, I always tell people, you couldn't take a bulldozer and pull me from this vision that God has assigned me to. Because all my blessing that God has provided for me is connected to this vision. Just like the apostle, his vision, he called us here, he connected us, he put us here as part of this vision. And put us here as part of this vision, God said, whatever blessings I got for this vision also comes off on you. Proper connection is very important. It is not that they did not care about the people, the apostles, you know, when they called one of those helpmates, they cared about the people, but they wanted to make sure that the needs of the people, the individual needs. We operate here in what we call a power 12. We have life bearers. When someone gets sick, we send out our life bearers, or we send out our master bearers out to the hospital to pray for people. And like I said, and so apostle, the size of your vision, you cannot do everything. You know, the apostle will wear himself out trying to carry out all these assignments. And so that's why God had to take the spirit that was on him and put it on individuals. Put that spirit that was on other people so they can help carry out the vision or the commission that God has assigned here at Word of Life Christian Center. They made sure that the people's needs was taken care of in the community. The apostle has to have the freedom to pursue if he or she is going to be effective, going to fulfill the apostolic call. So they have to have the freedom, you know, because, you know, myself, I work. And so even this class, you know, it takes a lot of time to prepare, to get ready to come in and minister to you. I just can't come in and minister to you. You know, even though I've taught this class before, but before every class, I have to do some study. I have to spend my time in the presence of God. I have to seek God. I have to ask for fresh anointing. I have to ask for fresh revelation. I have to ask for fresh wisdom so I can impart it to you. You know, because if you come in here and it's stale, you got a spirit, so you can feel it. You know, you can know when it's happening. And so I have to spend my time in the presence of God. So when I come in, I can impart to you this what God is imparting, putting in my spirit, so you can receive that. When an apostle, there isn't that a downside to this. When an apostle pursues his or her calling without the other ministry graces in place, several issues creep into the environment and threaten success for the apostolic leader. And so if the other fivefold ministry gifts, that's why there's that, what we call that umbrella, those fivefold ministry gifts. That's why we place the pastor in the church. He doesn't have that apostolic covering, so he gets burned out. He gets to struggling in ministry. Many pastors, you know, tell you about their struggles. I've never heard my man of God, my apostle, say that he struggles in ministry. As large as his ministry is, as many things that he does, he's struggling because the assignment is lined up properly. God put his spirit on him. He imparts that spirit to other individuals so they can go out and carry out this commission. Worship and supernatural activity are priorities in this apostolic environment. Worship is important and supernatural activity is important. Why is worship important? Worship is important because the scriptures say that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when he say inhabits, so we begin to worship God, we're bringing God on the scene. When God comes on the scene, he does not come empty-handed. He comes with, he comes with his protection. He comes with his provisions. He comes with his power. He also brings his plans and purposes. And so as I was going through it, I saw that. Turn to Isaiah. Let's see something here. And so if you're in, you come to church and you get in the presence of God, you know, when you first begin to worship, many times you're not in the spirit of worship. God say, I'm a spirit. and they who worship me in spirit and truth. So we come in and, you know, we come out from outside, we come drove on the way to church, and, you know, somebody in the pool out in front of me, and I done got upset. And so now I come in with a different spirit on me. So I now come in, I have to come in, and everything that was affecting me before, I throw it off. And I begin to worship God. I begin to think about God. And when I come in, then, you know, I was going to Isaiah. Let's go over here. And many times here, he say he inhabits the praises of his. I like that. He's with me. I know he's with me. And so he began to reveal to you that he's with you. Isaiah 41:10, which is an awesome scripture. Awesome. If you can get a revelation of that, and whenever something comes to you, you can always go back to it, and you can begin to meditate. You can do a Joshua 1:8 on it. Yeah, where you say, you know, this book of the law should not depart out of your eyes, but you should meditate in it day and night, and you make your way prosper and have good success. So you have anxiety about something. Somebody have did you something, and you get in fear over it. Somebody gave you an announcement that was not, you know, to your favor. But then God will give you a word like this in Isaiah, and he'll say something like, fear thou not. You know, that's that, you know, that, ooh. He say, you know, have no fear. Don't fear about it. Anytime you get in fear, fear is opposite of faith. So when you get in fear, you're operating in the devil's territory. You got away from faith in God's word. He say, fear thou not. He say, for I am, so if he's with me, you know, if God is for you, who can be against you? Those are things that you start coming when you begin to mature in the things of God. You know, these things come up to you. They begin, you know, God saying, you know, I've coded you. I was talking to my apostle one day, and one of the things we was talking about jazz. You know, Joseph had that coat of many colors, and everywhere, no matter what trouble Joseph got into, it always said, and God was with him. So it was like God had took himself and wrapped Joseph up. So wherever Joseph went, no matter what the situation was, God had him, you know, he had him. He was with him. And so God told us the same thing in his word here. He said, I'm going through. He said, I am with you. He said, for I am thy God. He said, no matter what else happens, I'm still your God. I'm still your father. I've never lost a battle. And so he says, I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what God will tell you something like that. And so one, you know, I was a situation I was going through, and the Spirit of God brought that scripture up to me and dropped it in my spirit. And so then he came back, and he'd say things like, you know, just simple stuff. He said, John, I came through the eons of time. I was laying in my bedroom. He said, I came through eons of time. And came through the, you know, elements, came through the sky, came through your roof, and came right into your bedroom so I could drop that word in your spirit. And so when he says something like that, whatever the Spirit of God speak to me, I got someone I can share with. I can run to my wife, and I share with my wife. You know, we talk scripture, and we talk about the Lord, so I shared it with her. And so if she had any fear on her side, then that fear that was on her also come off, because now I've got. So when he says something like that, then anything that comes against me, I know that God has taken care of. He got it in his hand, and since he have it in his hand, then, it's taken care of. So I don't worry no more. I don't even care about what the result's going to be anymore, because I know God has taken care. So like I said, that's the maturing aspect of the kingdom. And you begin to mature in the things of God, and he began to speak to you that way. Again, like I said, worship and supernatural activity are priorities in this environment, because God's presence is the top priority. God's presence is always the top priority in an apostolic environment. Again, like I say, when he comes, we know he's not coming empty-handed. And so when we, you know, stress praising God, when the praise leader get up and begin to praise God, is get God to come on the scene. And when he comes on the scene, again, like I say, he's not coming empty-handed. He's coming with all of his protection, whatever protection, all who he is, all he can do. He come in with his full glory. He coming in with all of his provisions, all of his power, and again, his plans and purposes. In this apostolic environment, the saints are sent, as Jesus was, to destroy the works of the devil, including sickness, diseases, and affliction. And so in any case, you're sent by the apostle in this environment. You're not going out by yourself. You stay where you are until you're sent. If the apostle say, go down to the hospital and pray for someone, I'm sent by the apostle. So I'm taking his anointing, whatever's on his life, and I'm taking it. When the enemy sees me, he doesn't just see me. He sees the apostle with his prayer standing there backing me up at what I do. We know that Jesus was sent. Mark, turn to Mark chapter 4, chapter 3. In Mark chapter 3, it says that, and he ordained 12. That was his 12 apostles. Remember that foundation. He ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. And again, what was they preaching? How Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those, Acts 10:38, healing all those who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So when, you know, it was not them doing it, they know that they had to always say, he always made. He said, I'm not doing the work. He said, it's the Father who's in me who's doing the work. And since he's the one who's doing the work, all I have to do is just do what he tell me to do. He commissioned all of us. Everybody who come into this kingdom, he's commissioned us to go for the apostles. Turn to Mark 16, and let's look at that. We're going to look at it twice. We're going to look at it in Matthew. We're going to look at it in Mark. So if so one of the things he tells us, we just can't continue to hear this word and not become a doer of the word. We have to do it. Here in Mark chapter 16, looking at verse 15, and just like Jesus sent the apostles out to do this, we also been commissioned to go out and do this. He says, and he said unto them, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And so the gospel is the good news. He didn't tell us to preach anything else but the good news of what Jesus has already provided for us, how he died on the cross, how he took away every sin that I had, my iniquities, how he made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And so the good news, he's given us all power. You see that in Matthew chapter 28. He said, he that believeth is baptized and saved. Just like he told that eunuch, you and then, you know, he was preaching Jesus to him and he can be saved. He said, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. We are believers, so we should have signs following us. You know, no matter where we go, there's a manifestation in your life if we're operating the kingdom the way God set it up. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall do that. We've been commissioned by Almighty God, so we can carry out this commission that God has assigned us. If it wasn't possible, then he would never told us that we can do this. But again, it's called maturity, it's operating, and it's having radical faith in the name of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Looking at the time on that, the clock went off on me, so whenever, you just keep watching on it. Okay. I know it was getting close. But anyway, I see this. It says in Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. That was, again, it's given to me in heaven and in earth. In heaven and all power. That's, you know what I mean? There's no other power. All power has been put in his hand. He said, and then he tells us, he gives us that commission again. He said, go ye therefore and teach. Now, he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. So wherever we go, we can know that God is with us. If we operate, he said, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means that we believe what Jesus did. We believe what he said. And since he did, it's not, you know, so what we do not do those things is because we think it's something that we have to do. And so my job is just, you know, if they don't recover, it ain't on me. It's on, you know, God told me to do this. And so I just lay my hands like he said. And when he's, and you know, and then they should, he said, they should recover. He said, signs and follows. And he said they went about and he confirmed his word with signs following. My word with signs following. And so I think we've gone as far as we can on this. I wanted to cover that. Isaiah 41:10, make that our meditation scripture for this class. And like I said, we'll get into some more examples in the next class, and we'll see it, see some other things. And God said, I want you to grow. I want you to mature. I want you to see me, and I want you to perceive me as God. That's why Jesus always say, he say, see. He always tell us to see. And when he see, we want to see this word, perceive it like God sees it. And then we can operate in it like he says we can do it. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you for Jesus and his finished work. We thank you, Father, that we're no longer just hearers of what you tell us to do, but we become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. As soon as I got started, it went off. So I didn't.